listening to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast. And Dan, there's no point in even getting any further into it. It's our League of Record draft weekend, my friend.
That's right. It's time to get drafty, Bob, officially. This is what it's all about. I mean, we've done plenty of draft prep. We've done plenty of podcasts. We've done plenty of mocks, I would say.
Oh, my goodness, and every day.
Here it goes. I mean, it's put up or shut up time. And, you know, if it doesn't play out well for you, if your strategies don't pay off, it could be a long, long fantasy season for you from here on out.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I can recommend it to anybody out there that's listening, if you can by any means do it, try and do some sort of a getaway or gathering to do a draft. It's so much fun. We're doing this now for, I believe, the fourth year where we've traveled.
Fourth year. Fourth year.
So, we did it the one time and said, this was really fun. Why don't we keep doing this? So we decided to make it a tradition. We go to a local resort in Pennsylvania that get a great house and great outdoor area for outdoor games and just make a full weekend out of it.
That's right. You just have a good time with it. That's the, that's really what you're doing this for. You're playing fantasy to have fun and hang out with your friends and do something, be a little competitive. As you get a little older, a little bit longer in the tooth, you don't really have a chance to get together very often. So, you got to figure out an excuse to get together. And what better reason to get together than to do your fantasy draft? And because, it's going to last, you guys are going to be talking about this for months and months and months till the season kicks off in 2 weeks on the September the 5th. So it's, it's the perfect time of year for all of us fantasy football freaks.
So yeah, the guys in the group love it. The wives absolutely hate it because, you guys are getting away for the whole weekend.
I think it depends. I mean, you got to admit having some freedom away from each other is not necessarily always a bad thing, but
not at all.
It's just one of those things where I think they appreciate that it's only once a year and it's not something that we're always, trying to do, once a week or something like that.
Exactly. So, yeah, with that in mind, with the draft coming up, we thought this was a right time to do our personal draft risers and fallers since, it might be a little early, but this was a time where we could get pretty much everybody in our group together. So we're going to give our draft risers and fallers. We're going to go over some preseason week one standouts. And as always, start with our news. So let's get right into the news, Dan. And I want to keep this short because some of the preseason week one standouts really could have been part of the news. So I just wanted to keep it to what I thought was the most important. And the biggest one that happened pretty much after we recorded our last week's episode was Duke Johnson was traded from the Browns to the Texans for a conditional 2020 fourth round pick, which could come into a third round pick.
Sure.
Sounds like there could be a path for Johnson to become even more involved than he was in the Cleveland Browns. And just before I get your input, as of a note, last year, Alfred Blue had 150 rushes for 449 yards, 2 touchdowns. He added 20 receptions. And Duke averaged 59 receptions for 543 yards and 2 touchdowns in 4 years in Cleveland. So that to me is well within his range of outcomes. And it could get even higher if, Lamar Miller starts off slow.
Yeah, I mean, Duke was in a Cleveland situation where, but for Nick Chubb coming on and having a stellar year last year, and the acquisition of Kareem Hunt, Duke Johnson is a very intriguing, almost Tarik Cohen like flex play to me.
Right.
And then all this stuff happens with Kareem Hunt. He joins the Browns, and now you've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, where it's going to be an interesting 1-2 punch now, because now you're not worried about Duke Johnson taking away any carries or anything like that, or taking away any third downs from Kareem Hunt. So that makes that situation a little bit more palatable for people who are looking at maybe drafting Kareem Hunt, because I think the value goes up with Duke Johnson gone.
And now, I also think it helps Nick Chubb a little bit, even though I wasn't scared of Duke Johnson. Now it's clear for the first 8 weeks.
He's in there all day.
Chubb could even be involved heavier in the passing game, so he could get off to a really hot start.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that. That means you, if you're drafting Nick Chubb, where I've seen him, beginning of the second round is where I usually see him. I don't see him making the turn into the third. If it does, who's ever making that turn better grab him. But you're getting 8 weeks of straight Nick Chubb number one, and if he asserts himself as, you know, kind of he did last year, frankly, with Carlos Hyde there,
right?
I don't see them really going away from him, because if it's working, you don't just get away from it. Now, I think Kareem Hunt will have some place on the team, but I still think it's the Nick Chubb show until something breaks otherwise or there's an injury. Now, in terms of the Texans, the Duke Johnson intrigues me as a Tarik Cohen like flex play. I think, and you think Lamar Miller's old reliable.
This
you're
hurts.
A big Lamar Miller fan.
This hurts.
This is a guy that you usually draft to be your RB2, Bob. Now he's got somebody that's kind of, you know, a change of pace back, who's I think going to come in on third downs, going to get a lot of receptions, but I don't really think it affects the way Lamar Miller plays, because I think Lamar Miller is more of your prototypical running back, where he's going to be getting your first down carries, your first second down carries, moving the sticks, doing the hard work in between the tackles and things like that.
Yeah, I just think it will definitely remove him off the field for third downs, which, you know, last year he was sort of in for every down just by default there for most of the year, especially right when he started heating up. It hurts his value a little bit. Like I said, this is a guy I would normally target, especially if I wait on running backs. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I may just wait and take a flyer on Duke Johnson later.
Right.
So,
I mean, if Lamar Miller gets hurt, I mean, we've seen Duke Johnson a lot. Do you feel like Duke Johnson can carry the load of a three down back? I'm not sure.
I don't think he can either. He would still be in some form of a timeshare of some sort. So, but I mean, you know, if they can really get him going in the pass game, which is where he's best at, right, I think that could add another dimension to the offense they really haven't had.
Absolutely.
So this one, boy, oh boy, this has changed so many times. So I'll just read it based on the notes I had. First, it was the frostbite. Then the reports that Antonio Brown had got radio silent. Then Adam Schefter reports he told the Raiders he will not play football again if the league does not allow him to wear his preferred helmet. Then USA Today's Mike Jones reports the arbitrator ruled against Antonio Brown. And now Antonio Brown said he's looking forward to rejoining his teammates after losing his grievance. Antonio Brown, what the, you know where I'm going.
I guess it's one of those things where, like, I don't know. And at the very least, I don't think it takes care of the frostbite, right? Like, the frostbite is still an issue. So I don't think it necessarily takes care of the injury concern. Now it's just like,
is this all year long? Is this what you're going to be dealing with?
I mean, is this a headache nonstop? And the other thing I think I read somewhere that he had already located a helmet that was of the same kind of make and model that he's using right now, but met the current specifications. So I said, how is this possible that he's found something that works for him and nobody told him this until all of this nonsense came out? I don't know. I mean, the nonsense is the nonsense, whatever. I think you and I are well experienced in the kind of the drama associated with Antonio Brown. But at the same time, he absolutely 100% continues to perform on the field. He's going to give you points. He's going to give you catches. He's going to give you touchdowns. We'll talk probably about this a little bit later, but I don't think you're getting the same Antonio Brown that you had while he's in Pittsburgh. The other thing is that you're also in a situation now where we're a bunch of weeks into camp. We're 2 weekends away from the regular season starting, and he's not even been playing yet. So how familiar is he with the offense? I mean, this isn't backyard football where it's just like you go long and I'm just going to throw it to you. I mean, this is a complex game where lots of people are playing, you know, defenses that people are going to have to read and adjust to and stuff like that. It's not just like, okay, let's draw it up on the back of your jersey and this is the way we're going to figure this out.
So let me ask you this, Dan, because you're in a position in the draft where he's in theory in play for you in the second round.
Yep.
Are you taking him in your position?
It's tough because, I mean, he's a game breaker.
So you pick what, fourth?
Third.
So you would get him back with three picks left in the second round, 10-team league. So,
yep.
Based on mocks, it's like him, T.Y. Hilton, Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton. Those are the types of guys who you're kind of contemplating instead of A.B. I'll be honest with you. T.Y. Hilton, is he going to be the same type of player when Andrew Luck's not playing?
No,
he's not. You're right. Absolutely. 100%. You're right. He's just not going to be. It's not the same type of production. Now, is Keenan Allen still going to be putting in the type of numbers that you expect from him? Phillip Rivers, very rarely hurt. Very, very, very stout fellow. Doesn't have a lot of injury concerns. So, frankly, out of the three, the one that I like the most at this point, probably Keenan Allen.
Yep.
And I like the Chargers offense better too. And if there's no Melvin Gordon, to me, that seems like they're going to be throwing the ball a lot more. So that's going to make uptick in targets and uptick in production for Keenan Allen as well. And I know everyone is kind of like thinking this is the Mike Williams year. Speaking of Keenan Allen, I'm just looking at the Roto-World here, and Keenan Allen is dealing with an ankle injury.
Oh, well,
expected
lovely
to hold him out of the rest of the preseason, but not week one of the regular season. So, boy.
Good deal.
The injuries are already adding up, and Melvin Gordon has announced that he is prepared to miss games. So now, Oh, man.
This
is way too early to draft. I mean, do you have any concerns that we're drafting too early? There are part of me that's like, oh, man, is anyone going to be alive by the time we get to the regular season here?
Could be, yeah. I know we decided we wanted to try and push it back, but we couldn't. So this could be interesting. So, Dan, let's move on to just two more bits of news because then we got our preseason week one standouts. To me, this is not news. This one just made me say, yeah, okay. Christian McCaffrey, Monday Morning Quarterbacks Albert Breer reports that the Panthers are trying to find a backup who can ideally take a lot of Christian McCaffrey's short yardage and goal line work. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think that's just one of those things that everybody is, we don't want to give him 1,000 touches a game. Okay, do you want to win? Like, that's what it boils down to me. Look what you did last year. I think he's shown that he can carry the load. He had, an incredible amount of touches last year with no injury concerns. And now you're saying you're going to want to take goal line carries away from him. They had Cameron Artis Payne there last year, who's basically a bowling ball who just rolls through people. And McCaffrey was getting goal line carries.
Right.
So I don't see a lot of, I'm not putting a lot of weight in this. Sometimes I feel like people are just like, yeah, we'd like to get him some goal line carries. And then we in the fantasy world and those who are feeding us the fantasy information read that into being like, oh, gosh, they're not giving him any more goal line carries. Like, no. Let's be a little bit more reserved in these extreme kind of opinions that we're developing from off-the-cuff comments.
To me, with all of the news and other running back issues and things of that nature, he could be the safest number one pick available right now.
So, McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So. If he was – he's a keeper in our league. So this is the one year that, we're kind of having to pick around keepers. If he was wasn't a keeper, if he even – I knew he wouldn't get to me. Now I know he would not have gotten to me at number three because Ryan would have grabbed him. But if he had, that's who I was getting, absolutely no question. So now I have to retool. And it looks like I have some retooling to do, too, now with Keenan Allen out.
Yes,
yikes.
So last one, Dan. This one piqued my interest. Kenyon Drake was seen in a walking boot Wednesday. Coach Brian Flores said the foot injury will take a while to heal. While Miami Herald's Adam Beasley notes that Kalen Ballage is starting running back until he returns, which could last all the way to week one. Ballage is somebody I took in the Scott Fish Bowl late. Ballage is somebody I've been targeting. I hope everybody's paying attention. This is a guy I know I've been high on, so this may cause his draft stock to raise. I'm hoping that maybe it gives another week and it doesn't raise this weekend, but Ballage is somebody I've been interested in, and now this makes Drake possibly a nice buy low if he starts sliding, because you know I haven't really had too many stocks from him, but if his value gets low enough, I mean, he played pretty darn well last year, surprisingly, so.
Yeah, I mean, this was, I think, probably music to your ears there, Bob, because you've been beating the Ballage Bell.
Oh, Triple, you know, B,
pretty
Dan.
Steadily through, yeah, look the Ballage
at,
Bell.
Look at Guy steadily. Fieri taking us to Triple B.
Taking to Flavortown, baby. Just to, and, I know, but, I mean, he's somebody who you, you know, are routinely taking late, and you know, a nice kind of pick for you in the Scott Fish Bowl now. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a little bit, I'm not super excited about anything coming out of Miami right now.
Frankly. Yeah, it's hard to get excited, but somebody's going to produce. It's almost like the Jets were, I think, last year, where it's like, okay, Chris Herndon came out of nowhere, Robbie Anderson came on late, so there were pieces. It just right. it might take a while to really identify what piece is going to be that guy.
No, I agree, and it's people come out of nowhere to become fantasy studs, so there's no reason to think that he can't have like a stellar fantasy season, or at least a start to it, or at least this gives him an opportunity
to play more.
To develop a role on the team and kind of show what he can do. You know, as the season progresses.
Yep. So that covers all the player news. And Dan, let's go ahead and break down some preseason week one standouts. Really quick, I guess the way we want to do this is I listed a bunch of standouts, Dan, so I'm going to read through just the stats and the notes, and just give me your quick, like, sort of one or two sentence thought on the players so we can move through this list, because there are a lot of players that we listed in here.
Yeah.
So first one, we're going to go quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, 5 for 6, 77 yards, 1 touchdown. He basically ran a 2-minute drill from his own 10 where he sliced up the defense in a little over 2 minutes, finishing with a touchdown to Rashard Higgins. I mean, if that's what you're going to get, he's going to be impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're getting him at a bargain price now, because he's like probably the third or probably the fourth or fifth QB off the board from what I've seen. And you're getting bargain price at that point, because the guy is going to be a stud. I mean, and that's without Odell Beckham. That's, you know, without, you know, going out there and kind of showing them everything they can do. I like Baker Mayfield a lot this year. I just think I'm a guy who waits on QB a little bit. So I'm not necessarily thinking that I'm going to want to reach
right
for QB, you know, but who knows? A lot of the guys in our league are guys who wait on QB. So if it's at the right price, I'll grab him. If not, you know, whoever gets him is getting a good one. You think he's going to have a Mahomes? Could he have a Mahomes type season, Bob?
No, there's only been a couple quarterbacks in history that had that, so no.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he gets to that level, but I think he'll probably be top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah. So, Dan, this one piqued my interest because we picked him off the waivers in Dynasty, and this is what we seem to do with our quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, 5 for 5, 67 yards, 1 touchdown. Played one drive due to weather, but it was a glimmer of hope for Giants fans moving forward, finishing the drive with a beautiful pass to Benny Fowler in the end zone, who was covered tightly. I happened to be watching this, and it definitely was impressive, and it gives you hope that even with lacking weapons, I know it was preseason week one, this guy could have a future.
Yeah, I think a lot of people generally across the world or across the United States were like, who? Who was drafted? But, you know, at the same time, I think he'll have – I don't think he plays this year.
No, I'll be honest with you.
I think they'll let Eli go out, kind of ride out in the glory that is Eli Manning. And I think he'll just kind of hold the book. And if – he doesn't really have anyone else there other than Evan Ingram. But I think if in a dynasty format, he was probably something who no one drafted. because no one really expected much. But it's someone who I like having somebody kind of taxiing on the practice squad.
Give me 2 years.
I like that person being a QB.
Yeah, give me 2 years.
See how he plays out. Yep. For sure.
So let's move on to running back stand. David Montgomery of the Bears, 3 rushes, 16 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 receptions, 30 yards. He didn't start, but he showed the most promise. Elusive moves are on display, spinning away from defenders and putting it in the end zone after a nice stutter step to avoid a defender. All talk out of camp says he should lead the backfield in touches. And if he could take on that Jordan Howard role and even add some passing, A, it's going to hurt Tariq Cohen, and B, there's potential for a top 12 running back here. Jordan Howard proved that with only running.
I know, and that's kind of what you're expecting when you draft him. So there's a reason people are drafting him early. There's a reason he's going within the first 5 rounds in some drafts.
He's now in a third round conversation, honestly.
I mean, as we're doing sleeper, they update players and draft position and stuff like that. There's a lot of guys that we saw going in the 7th or 8th round that have moved up a bunch of spots.
He's a mover.
He's one of them. One of them, for sure.
So, Dan, Devin Singletary of the Bills, 9 rushes for 27 yards, 3 for 21. So those stat lines might not sound impressive, but the Bills made it a point to get him the ball. The nice part was his workload in the passing game. I mean, there's nothing but old backs in front of him. So he could be one of those. If I'm taking with my last pick, he's probably a target, because if I can let him sit and marinate on the bench, it's very well within his possibility midway through the season he's a lead back there.
Oh, I agree. I think with the people there, he's got probably maybe the best shot to become. I mean, there's not really anybody ahead of, you know, Josh Jacobs and things like that. But I'll be honest with you, I'm liking Shady in the late rounds that I'm getting him, because we talked about this last week, the one bad season.
Right.
We talked about this earlier today, Bob, you and I, we looked at our draft last year. Shady was in the 2nd round.
Right.
Now he's going in double digit rounds. It's not like he forgot to play football overnight. I get it. He's in his 30s now. But let's be honest here. It's still Shady. This guy is interesting to me, more interesting to me in dynasty format. I think there's enough veterans in front of him that he might not be able to return much value this season. But if you have him in a dynasty format, within 2 years, those other guys I would presume are going to be gone. And if he can show even a glimpse of talent this year, he should be the lead back within the next couple seasons.
Right. And last running back, Dan, Darwin Thompson of the Chiefs, 5 rushes, 22 yards, 1 reception, 29 yards, 1 touchdown. Like David Montgomery, he showed elusive moves and the ability to break tackles, even leaping over a defender during a run. Reed has mentioned using a committee approach, so pay attention. And I just read Carlos Hyde could be on the Chiefs roster bubble, and it could be because of the potential they saw right here. So this is another guy I'm looking at when I get into the double digit round category in drafts, for sure.
Yeah, I think if he continues to have a good preseason, that people are going to start reaching for him. I think they're going to start reaching for him because I think, and you probably would agree with me, that there's been a lot of people cooling on Damian Williams.
Talk about him. Don't worry, Dan.
I talked about him last week.
Right.
I'm not convinced. We talked about those numbers that he put up while he was in Miami.
Right.
He had a great year at the end of the season last year, but I'm not 100% sold that he is a second round, first round value.
Exactly.
If you can avoid that, I mean, it gets to the point where you're like, I have to take him at this point. Like, it's the values, you know, even for those first couple games, is too crazy to pass up. Or it's equally as likely that he could have a fantastic season. If I'm a betting man, unfortunately, I don't expect it because of the past. This guy would be a nice late round sleeper. Late round. Get a little twang on there for you, Bobby.
Danny taking us down south.
Yeah, get a little late round guy there in Kansas City. This guy intrigues me the most out of the backs that we're talking about.
Dan, let's keep it in the Chiefs and move to the wide receivers. Mecole Hardman, 2 receptions, 31 yards, 1 touchdown. It may be hard, barring injury, for him to make a fantasy dent this year, but boy, his speed was on display, scoring on a fly sweep. This, to me, is the perfect late-round best ball pick.
Yeah, I agree. And it's one of those things where this guy actually is intrigued, has kind of caught my attention too in terms of draft, because no one's grabbing this guy. Everyone kind of sees him as, you know, not necessarily someone who's going to make an impact right away. But with Tyreek Hill there, it was going to be Sammy Watkins.
Listen, look at that speed, though.
Travis Kelce.
If they put Tyreek and Mecole Hardman with Travis Kelce roaming the center of the field, I mean, good God, good luck.
Yep. So, I mean, I can see a situation where, you know, Sammy Watkins might be the guy on the outside looking in with the speed of Mecole, kind of putting him over the top.
Right. So, Dan, I'm going to start this one by saying, Rob, if you're listening, screw you. Preston Williams, 4 receptions, 97 yards. Dan, we tried our hardest. We put a $0 bid on him last week in our Dynasty League, and for some reason we couldn't get him because of roster construction issues. So we bid a lot of money on him, and we got sniped. He looked like the best player on the field, made a great reception with defenders all over him, made a one-handed grab for 36 yards, followed that up with a beautiful toe tap on the sideline. This guy could have a clear path to playing time in this week wide receiver core.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Kenny Stills, you've got
Devontae Parker,
Wilson, who's hurt. Devontae Parker, who, you know, has fantastic
preseasons,
and but, you know, once we get into the season, like, you're not necessarily always able to put it together. So I think he could potentially have a clear-cut path and potentially a number one type position.
Right.
But, you know, I like him more Fitzmagic's there than Rosen, but it looks like Rosen's actually making the push to be the starting quarterback.
And
there,
he made a
surprise.
He made all those plays with Rosen, so something to keep in mind.
Right.
So, and Dan, this last one, wide receiver-wise, excuse me, really tried to make a statement that, look, I'm here to play now that AB and them are gone. James Washington, 4 receptions, 84 yards, 1 touchdown. Moncrief's been getting all the buzz as the second wide receiver on the team, but Washington showed why they liked him coming out of Oklahoma State. Started by catching a 44-yard pass from Dobbs and scored on a back shoulder pass from his old college QB, Rudolph. I mean, this team passes the ball a lot. So Moncrief, Washington, I'm taking a piece of them as it gets them into the double-digit rounds for sure.
Yeah, I think the hype has been on Moncrief. We've hyped Moncrief. We've had good things to say about Moncrief. And now this guy's kind of stepped up and said, well, what about me? Like, I was the heir apparent last, you know, last season. People were talking about me like, oh, Jim Washington's coming in, he's going to have huge games. You know, with Juju now as the clear-cut number one and AB gone, we kind of expected Vance McDonald to get a lot of those targets. But there's still plenty of room for another receiver on this team. And we're a pass-happy offense, let's be honest, which is why I think it's criminal in some circumstances when we do a mock. And in the 17th round with my last pick, I'm taking Ben Roethlisberger. This is insane to me.
Yep.
This is insane.
Yep.
I know he's not going to go that late in our hometown league because someone's going to grab him much earlier than that. But I think there's plenty of room, plenty of offense to go around on that Pittsburgh team. I'm not surprised by this James Washington play at all. I think that there's been a lot of Dante Moncrief hype, but we'll actually see how this actually goes when we actually get into the games. I like James Washington as a pick. I like Dante. I would take Washington ahead of Moncrief.
I'm still on Moncrief based on the news, but I mean, in the a lot of the mocks we've been doing, they're back-to-back picks.
Yep.
So, Dan, last one on the preseason hype train is Dallas Goedert, 3 receptions, 50 yards. Now, nothing super fancy, but he looked unstoppable during the game. Eagles broadcasting team mentioned multiple times Sudfeld can throw the ball to Goddard on every play, and Tennessee's first-string defense won't be able to do anything to stop him. If Zach Ertz, for some reason, would ever get injured, this guy would be worth blowing the fab budget on because he could be, to me, a top-5 tight end in a weak position.
We'll see. I'm not sold on this one. The other ones intrigue me. I know that there are some people out there who seem to think Goddard is going to be taking a lot of targets away from Ertz. I'm not sold on that. I feel like Ertz is still the number one receiver on the team.
Oh, it's going to take an Ertz
outside
injury
of everybody, right? you know, it's not somebody I'm wasting a draft pick on. It's someone who I'll see and monitor the injuries if should they occur, and then maybe put a bid on him, but not somebody I'm wasting a draft pick on.
Yeah, somebody you pay attention to. If Ertz sure. would ever go down, he's an instant. He'll be our number one on our weekly show where we talk about targets. So,
yeah, put him on your watch list.
So, yeah, Dan, that was our week one preseason standouts, and it's time to get into the main segment of the show. Let's talk about our draft risers and fallers. If you've listened to the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast before, you know just how much we love the draft app. We continually do best ball drafts throughout the year, and during the season, we have a weekly segment called Getting Drafty on Draft that drops every Thursday. Now we are proud to announce our affiliation with the best fantasy app out there. We would greatly appreciate if you would support our show by using our new link, draft.com/nottakes. For those of you that don't already have a FanDuel or Draft account, signing up to Draft using that link gets you a free $3 entry to any contest of your choice after your initial deposit. We personally recommend a season-long best ball draft, and trust us, when you start, you're gonna be hooked. Once you get your account situated, come challenge myself or Dan on Draft. You can find me, Bob, on Draft at NotTakesBob, that's NotTakesBob. And you can find Dan at DJBenoit33, that's DJBenwa33. Once again, our link is draft.com/NotTakes, that's NotTakes. We can't wait to see you all get drafty on Draft with us. We're going to each give three players per category, three for the risers, three for the fallers. Just give some notes on why we believe they're in that category and just something for you all to keep in mind, especially if you're like our league and drafting this weekend. So, Dan, I'm going to kick off with the risers. And my number one riser is Matt Breida, running back of the San Francisco 49ers. As of researching, his ADP based on Fantasy Football Calculator, half point PPR, 126th player off the board right around the beginning of round 11. News came out about Jerick McKinnon looking to be starting 2019 on the injured reserve with a setback on his injured knee, which doesn't sound good at all when you're dealing with a setback on that type of injury. Breida was really impressive last year while on the field. He rushed for 153 attempts for 814 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's a little over 5.3 yards per rush, 27 receptions, 261 yards and 2 touchdowns. And now this is what you're sort of hoping for in this backfield is more clarity. And Kyle Shanahan knows how to use two backs and make them both effective, i.e. Freeman and Coleman in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Getting a possible high-level flex and RB2 possibilities if things break right in the 11th round to me is stealing. That's why he's my number one riser.
Yeah, it's to me, it's a situation where last year the injuries were plagued. I mean, it was an injury-plagued backfield, and Breida was kind of the guy I think who stepped up the most.
He looked great to me when he was healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And he became a serviceable back, somebody who we grabbed in a dynasty league.
Off waivers.
And then we came into this season, and they've got Tevin Coleman. And Tevin Coleman's somebody who I think people are rising on as well. Because in the sleeper app, when we're doing our mocks, he's jumped 3 rounds from where he usually gets taken. If someone's one of us doesn't invest in him, he goes about, I think he's going about 3 rounds earlier. He used to go in about the 8th, and now he's going 5th, 6th, Tevin Coleman.
Oh yeah, he's jumped as much as Breida has for me.
Absolutely. And I think a big part of that is Jerick McKinnon not looking necessarily great right now. I don't even know if he's going to be able to play.
I don't think so. He sounded like he's going to end up in the injured reserve of some form or fashion.
And that's a shame because I remember last season, and right now I'm looking as of the 11th, they're projecting them to begin the season on the injured reserve list. Right. So that is not necessarily he's not something I'm investing any amount of time or draft picks in or anything at this point. And I think it gets to the point where it's Tevin Coleman's backfield to lose.
Right.
Although I do think that Breida probably plays a bigger role than people are giving him. And if Tevin Coleman doesn't necessarily pan out like he didn't necessarily pan out last season in Atlanta, Breida's already shown he can carry the load. Breida's already shown he's got offensive talent. Breida already knows the offense. So that makes for a perfect situation for him to step up and take time away from Coleman. So he's a perfect riser. He's a late round pick who you don't necessarily have a lot of people paying attention to, who's in a situation where one back who we thought was going to be he's going to be part of a three-headed backfield. Now it's a two-headed backfield. And it was with Tevin Coleman, who think people are becoming fans of. And I said he could be a bit of a sleeper. I had some good things to say about him. Not necessarily the greatest season last year. So we'll see how this plays out. But I like Breida. I like Breida as a sleeper a lot. He definitely should be getting on more people's radar at this point.
Yep. So, Dan, who's your number one riser?
I talk about this guy all the time. All the time. And I'm not even embarrassed about it anymore. I'm not even going to hide how much I like this guy. I was on the hype train. The hype train is just picking up speed this year, baby. It's Chris Carson.
Chugga, chugga.
Everybody, like, he's in the heaviest run offense in the NFL. He was in – I got him in the sixth round last year. I think that was a bargain. That was a bargain last year, the sixth round. Now I'm seeing him going in the fourth round. And look at just the recent – news that's come out about him in this month alone, in August. In July, he says, my knee's 100%. There's no injury issues. And this was kind of the same thing that was going on last year. Everyone's like, ooh, Rashad Penny. And Chris Carson's like, this is my second year in the league.
Yeah.
And now it's Chris Carson outperforming Rashad Penny at camp. Continues to look like the best running back. So, okay, people still, I'm not really, Chris Carson just, whatever. Now they're saying they want him to be more involved in the passing game. He's got unbelievable hands. He's a problem for people coming out of the backfield. So now you're thinking, oh, wow, so now we're creeping into three down territory, and you know how rare that is in this NFL right now. Three down backs, unbelievably rare.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll. Carson will catch the ball more this year for sure. Doug Baldwin gone. 50 receptions for Doug. That's 50 targets. Need to go somewhere else. Mike Davis gone. That's 34 receptions. That's at least 34 targets that I need to go somewhere else. It can't just be going all to Rashad Penny. It's got to go to Carson. And now Schottenheimer says he wants to have at least 50 targets for him. That's double what the last year's total was. So this is all the information that you're getting off of RotoWorld. I mean, there's a Chris Carson hype train on right now.
It's you're the conductor, Dan.
I'm fueling this baby with as much coal as I can get. I'm shoveling in. I get it. Not a first round pick. I get it. Not a second round pick. I get it. Usually in that second, third round, you're trying to get elite receivers. But usually with that fourth pick, if you've got an elite running back, like a top tier guy in that first round, you're looking to maybe plug in number two. You used to be able to sit on Chris Carson. I think the hype train is now full blown on attack, and I'm rolling in it. I don't know if you're going to get him past the fourth round anymore.
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing it stinks, Dan, is I love my keeper, but it is the fourth round pick, and right. I know I can't get in. I just can't get Chris Carson. It's a guy I would love to have on my team.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those guys where I just don't think he's getting the love he deserves in the offense that he's in. It's going to run first offense. They've got a lot of questions in the passing game in terms of receivers. They don't have a high quality tight end. This is how they won games last year. It was churning and running the ball. I'm expecting, I'll make a bold prediction, top seven running back.
Like it. So yeah, this is a guy definitely to target. Like I said, if you're in the fourth round, you should be looking at this guy right then. No doubts about it. It sounds like, you know, as much as we want Rashad Penny to really step forward, which I still think he'll have a role, but it's becoming more muted. It sounds like Carson is really going to be the lead dog there. So Dan, I'm going to go and move on to my number two breakout, riser, I should say. And this is really a riser, I think, everywhere for everybody, but it's somebody I've been targeting and I try to get on every draft, and that's Curtis Samuel of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, this is the hype. This is a big old hype train
this,
right now.
This too. Might be the most hype player right now, currently, honestly. Yep. His ADP right now on Fantasy Football Calculator, half point PPR, 89th player off the board, pick 4 in the 8th round. Yeah, I mean, my first note was, is there a player with more buzz than Samuel? Probably not.
Nope.
Listen to some of the quotes coming out about him. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated believes third-year wide receiver Curtis Samuel is primed for a breakout. Coach Ron Rivera said Curtis Samuel is light years ahead of where he was as a rookie. Panthers OC Norv Turner said Samuel is becoming an outstanding route runner. He fits right into that third-year wide receiver breakout category. I found an interesting article about it breaking down the third-year breakout on the Fantasy Footballers website, which was really great. And there really is sort of some magic around that third year. So I always try to target a third-year wide receiver on my team somewhere, and this is the guy. He had a strong stretch in the final part of the season where he had games like 6 for 88, 4 for 80, 7 for 41, 2 for 72, and 1. Cam Newton looks like he's healthy. This guy, and there was a report out today that I even put in here, he's clearly the MVP of the preseason for the Panthers. It's going to be tough, and I may reach on him, but this is a guy I'm 100% getting on as many teams as I can. My second riser, Curtis Samuel.
Man, this is – I mean, I like DJ Moore. I've gone on – I think it's been pretty clear that I'm a big DJ Moore fan. I'm expecting him to make a pretty big leap this year. But it also could just be a big year for
– Could be both of them, really.
Yeah, it could be just a big year for Carolina receivers in general, because I don't – outside of Steve Smith and Greg Olsen, you don't really – I mean, there really wasn't anyone there who you're, like, really excited about. I mean, there were some people who were a little bit hyped on Devin Funchess last year, but that didn't pan out too well. And – it's just one of those things where I think this is like one of the first times maybe since Cam's been there where they've had somebody, you know, who could pick up the slack or pick up where Steve Smith kind of left off. And the other thing I saw today, and did you mention that Cam's got his deep ball back?
Oh yeah.
Did you mention that?
Well, I read it. So, I didn't mention it.
Yeah. So that's the other thing is that, you know, on RotoWorld, they made a point to say that Cam's got his deep ball back. You know, towards the end of the last season, he was wincing. He couldn't throw the ball. And, you know, it really affected the passing game, especially those deep passes where you're going to get most of your money from Curtis Samuel. So here's a guy, you know, along with DJ Moore. I think it's not necessarily just Curtis Samuel. I think both of these guys. I think there's going to be more. There's more hype on Samuel, but don't sleep on DJ Moore either. I like Samuel as a riser. I think it's a great. I mean, he's been a hot name this whole month, but don't sleep on DJ Moore. Don't sleep on the Panthers' offense. I mean, it's McCaffrey, but they also wrote a rule that said that, you know, Cam is going at a bargain basement QB1, and he could be somebody who wins you your league. So keep your eye on Mr. Cam Newton. I know you are, Bobby.
I'm watching you, Craig.
I know Craig is trying to snipe Cam from you.
Yep. So, Dan, who's your number two riser going into the draft?
Tyrell Williams from the Raiders.
Yep.
And I'm looking right now, and let's be honest, it has a lot to do with how there's no more Jared Cook, so he's gone. Right.
Yep.
AB, I don't even know what to expect on this. But Tyrell Williams is a guy who, in the mocks that we have done, oftentimes either goes undrafted, auto drafted in one of the 16th, 17th rounds. And there's a chance that he could be the number one receiver on this team because we don't really know what's going to happen with AB. And the other thing is that AB makes other receivers better receivers. I think last year you saw that with Juju. There's a lot of attention to AB, which means I think that opens things up for guys like Tyrell Williams. And Tyrell Williams had a nice couple of years in San Diego. He had a nice couple of years there being a deep threat, kind of feeding off kind of the attention that's being drawn away by Keenan Allen and to some certain extent Mike Williams. Now he's joining the Oakland Raiders that has not necessarily a lot of other skill position players there. So I would expect him to kind of step up. He could potentially be the number one, barring what we see happens with these feet, Antonio Brown. I'm really, frankly, concerned about this injury, I think, a lot more than people are leading on. This is a guy who, I mean, his feet seem to be can you imagine running, cutting, doing all the things that you need to do on a football field at the level that he does them at with feet that are tore up like that? How painful is that going to be? Like, I just don't know how that's going to work. I'm not confident that it's going to work out well, at least for the beginning part of the season. And they've got to throw the ball to somebody, and it's not going to be Jared Cook anymore. So it should be, in my opinion, Tyrell Williams. I mean, it's a bargain basement price for a potential number one wide receiver. Sure, I get it. The quarterback's not a real sexy name these days, but they've got to pass the ball some way somehow. They've got a rookie running back, and I just don't see many other players outside Tyrell Williams that kind of interests me, to just kind of intrigues me to the extent that he does at this point.
Yeah, this would be another one, Dan, I would say a prime late round, even best ball pick too. I mean, if you're doing best ball leagues, yep. Even not just in your regular leagues, which, yeah, like you said, he's going last pick of the draft for us. But yeah, best ball pick, there's no reason why not to take this guy. He showed that he could be a big time threat. Now it was with Phillip Rivers, but he did show that potential there. So, Dan, I'm going to go with my last riser, and that's Austin Eckler of the Chargers. Based on current ADP on the fantasy football calculator, he's the 77th player off the board, third pick of the seventh round. There could be a prime opportunity coming his way, depending on what happens with Melvin Gordon. And I just read, as we were checking RotoWorld, Gordon's prepared to miss games. So it sounds like, man, this could be Lev Bell all over again.
Well, it's just, this is going to be the Lev Bell all over again. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, this is one of those times where it's fun to draft early, because if Melvin Gordon right now is saying he could miss games, he'll miss games, he'll miss games, he'll miss games, does that impact your opinion on whether you want to risk drafting him early in the draft or not?
I mean, when it gets into the third round,
say he gets into the third round, are you taking him? You're the seventh pick, right?
I'm the ninth pick, Daniel.
You're the ninth pick. You're in the third round. So we've just worked it way back. The turn's coming up for you. Third round, are you taking it?
I'd have to, yeah, because I think I could still navigate those waters. And if it's a four-week deal and he comes back or whatever, great. I mean, I have to think about it, because the way I've been drafting is I'm drafting some sort of running back in that round. So I'd have to be really careful about it, but I think I can navigate it. But yeah, I mean, Eckler's got a prime opportunity waiting for him. I mean, outside of a fumble going into the end zone, he looked impressive in preseason week one. 5 rushes, 40 yards, 8 per carry, 3 for 29 through the air. He showed standalone value last year. While Gordon was there, he had 7 top 24 weeks. I believe he'd still be in a timeshare with Justin Jackson, but he's shown he can run the ball as well as catch the ball, and that's a recipe for success in today's fantasy football. So that is my last riser. So Dan, what about your third and final riser?
I was tossing around a couple guys. I like Mecole. He's rising on me. And it's a situation where we've already kind of talked to him a little bit, but for some reason, I'm actually kind of rising on DK Metcalf. And I know he's not had,
you know, really anything happen so far. He's playing tonight. But I think that he was, kind of slept on in terms of the draft. I know there wasn't a lot of people who were thinking he was going to be that valuable. He slipped in a lot of rookie drafts. I just feel like this guy has got so much talent. He's got so much size. He shocked people at the combine with how big and how fast he was. The talent is just going to shine through. I mean, he'll pick up the route trees. He'll pick up the plays. And I think Tyler Lockett, although a nice player, just not somebody who, you know, somebody who is good enough. But I think there's a chance for if DK can come in and establish himself as this big time prime receiver, which I think he can. I think the talent is there, that he could really kind of emerge as the top pass catcher on the team. This is a run heavy offense, but it's Russell Wilson who can pass the ball, who can throw the ball. Again, there's no elite tight ends there. And I think the number one wide receiver is de facto Tyler Lockett. But at the same time, I think it's de facto Tyler Lockett because Doug Baldwin retired because of injuries. So I think DK, if he comes in, has a couple of good games, earns the respect and earns the trust of Russell Wilson. This is someone who is going 14th round, somewhere around there. That's a bargain for somebody who, again, could potentially be a number one receiver. Russell Wilson seems to like him. So a guy who is intriguing to me enough to spend on one of those late round draft picks when you're just trying to kind of hit on something. And I think you could probably do a lot worse than betting on DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, he could approach 8 touchdowns this season, which, you know, there's not a ton of wide receivers that can say that. So, I mean, if you can get you could flex him in and out of your lineup as you see the matchup fitting. So, yeah, it's definitely a guy that Russell Wilson hasn't had this type of wide receiver that is a red zone type of threat. So, definite high touchdown upside for this guy. So, that covers our risers going into the draft. And let's move right into our fallers. So, Dan, who is your number one faller going into drafts?
I threw a couple names at you earlier in the week, Bob, guys I was just kind of thinking about. And you suggested this gentleman. And I said, I don't know. I'll think about it. And then as the week went on, the news just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And that's Andrew Luck. And I don't remember – I don't know if you remember, but maybe it was like 2 years ago, I think, that, you know, he was having a really rough offseason in terms of injuries and things like that.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
And people were saying, oh, he'll be fine. He'll be back. He'll absolutely be back. And they're like, people are being scared off of Andrew Luck because of these injuries. He's playing. And there's some advice out there saying, hey, if you can get Andrew Luck in like the 10th round, that's a bargain because he's going to be, you know, this guy who's going to come out of nowhere. He's going to play. The injuries aren't that bad. We trust the Colts, blah, 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 blah. Somebody I know bought into that. Me. And wasted the draft pick because he didn't play the entire season. I have him in a dynasty league this, and I also have Deshaun Watson. And I was trying to shop one of the quarterbacks in the offseason, and I was saying, well, why do I need Watson if I've got Luck and vice versa? And now I'm thinking to myself, thank God I did not trade anybody because there's a good chance that I'm IRing Luck again for potentially the start of the season, if not longer than that. I mean, he was a guy who was routinely being taken early in drafts, not as early as like Mahomes or now Aaron Rodgers is getting going around the 6th round. And then you go the quarterback runs and stuff like that. Sometimes he was being taken ahead of Baker Mayfield, which is insane. Now, frankly, the quarterback position is so deep. It's so deep. I don't even feel like I'm compelled to draft Andrew Luck unless it's one of those, like, you're right at the end of the draft. You're like, oh, why not? You know what I mean? It's if the value's too good, you can grab him at the end. But I'm not spending a draft pick 1 through 14 on Andrew Luck. The injury concerns are too much. Now he's got a high ankle sprain, and they're being cautiously optimistic
or guarded optimism is what they're saying, that he's ready for week one. To me, that means he ain't going to be ready for week one. So, I'm not wasting a draft pick and, you know, in rounds in 14 where you can grab guys like we just talked about, like DK Metcalf and things like that, to grab Andrew Luck as my quarterback when I can grab Ben Roethlisberger or someone like that after those rounds anyways. So he's someone who I'm falling on. I'm staying away. The injuries worry me. I'm not wasting another draft pick. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's that, Bobby.
Yeah, that's what it was, is the injuries were starting to mount a lot for me, and that's why I kept saying, hey, I was thinking about using him, but just in case, you might want to take a deeper look at Andrew Luck, and that's why. So, damn, my number one follower we teased at the beginning, you mentioned it last week, I believe, it's Damian Williams of the Chiefs. His current ADP, 22nd player off the board, pick 10 in the second round. Andy Reid was upset through the offseason that Williams couldn't get on the field based on injuries. He also said he's going to use a running back by committee approach, and with Thompson showing so well, there's some proof that there is talent behind him. Outside of his stretch to end the year, he's never been above this, and I double-checked his stats again. He's never been above 46 rushes for a season, 181 rush yards for a season, or 23 receptions for a season. He basically accomplished all of that down the stretch last year. So I'm basing it a lot on the history, too. I know Andy Reid is like a running back whisperer for fantasy, but the history just says this guy won't make it. Here's some running backs going around him I would rather take. Around the same time, Kerryon Johnson, I'm taking him all day. Leonard Fournette, I'm really warming up to. And Devonta Freeman. Those are three running backs right around him that I would rather take. Just the history and everything that's gone on in the offseason, I can't see myself in the second round committing to Damian Williams.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no. If he gets, or if he slips to you in the third, you grab him there?
No.
What about the fourth on the turn?
I mean, the fourth, he's not going to make it there, but then I would start thinking about him. But like in the third, in the third, that's where Fournette, Freeman come into play. The second is where Kerryon Johnson at the back end. So those are all players within that time frame that, or that, that draft capital that I would rather have this season. Right. So,
that hype, the hype train for Chris Carson is taking off, and the doubt train on Damian Williams has arrived. He's one of those guys who I think a lot of people are doubting. Maybe that fuels the fire a little bit for him. I mean, he had a great at the end of the year last year, but not a lot of confidence that he can put it together two seasons in a row for me, at least.
Yep. So, Dan, who's your number two faller going into the drafts?
It's Antonio Brown. I mean, I'm rising on Tyrell Williams, and because I think you can get him bargain basement price late in drafts. And I think that the draft capital right now for Antonio Brown is just way too high.
Right.
It's second round. I mean, the news coming out tonight is that he was running and sprinting on the sidelines before Thursday's game, according to RotoWorld. They're saying he could come back as close as early as next weekend. So there's that.
Just red flags galore.
Yeah. If it's Antonio Brown on the Steelers, I feel a whole heck of a lot better because he's coming back to the same playbook he's had for how many years now. But now he's going back to Derek Carr. And I just like there was butting of heads in the Steelers with Roethlisberger and stuff like that. Like, Roethlisberger, I think, has earned some level of respect in terms of talent, winning, things like that. I just don't feel like Derek Carr has that same level of I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. Oh, but just the same level of appreciation as a player that other players would have for him. So I think Ben Roethlisberger is just a different quarterback, talent-wise, winning-wise, reputation-wise, things like that. I just don't know. Like, so let's just say that Derek Carr overthrows AB on three or four balls. Like, what are we doing then? Like, what's the meltdown on the sidelines? I mean, to me, like, I never thought he was actually going to quit football. Like, I just was like, you're throwing that out. It's like, well, if I can't do this, I'm just never going back. Like, okay. All right. I mean, whatever you say, buddy. I just – in my position, I mean, he could win you leagues. He absolutely can win you leagues. The talent is there. I just, again, if what it boils down to me, like it's always been, is the talent that surrounds him. Someone's got to throw him the ball. He can't throw himself the ball. My confidence in Derek Carr is low. And if he's not playing well, the frustration is going to continue to mount. And I think that's going to affect the overall value of him in terms of fantasy production. So, I mean, in the second round, he oftentimes comes to me. And like we've said earlier in the show, Bob, I'm usually going T.Y. Hilton, which now I don't know what to do. And then Keenan Allen, which is now I don't know what to do. So maybe I will take a flyer on him. Who knows? We'll see how it pans out. Maybe if we get some good reports about his feet, he's there. I'll be honest with you, if he makes it back to me in the third round, I probably cannot. I can't pass that up, though.
Yep, totally understandable. And we've talked about him in detail. So, yeah, I mean, it's a definite valid choice. And, damn, my second one's Dante Pettis of the 49ers. He's currently the 71st player off the board right at the back end of the sixth round. Projections had him as the unquestioned number one for San Fran, but recent quotes suggest that that's not the case. Kyle Shanahan insists he must complete for his new starting role. Other rookies like Jalen Hurd and Debo Samuel showed really well in the preseason so far. This team's so young in the pass catching department that really any of them can stand out. And here's some wide receivers going around him that I would rather take. Robbie Anderson, player 72, at the same position, 6'10". Allen Robinson, right after them, player 73. And Will Fuller, player 80, at the middle of the seventh round. So I just never really bought into this. And I know he looked good at times last year, but really all of them are young. And outside of Kittle, it's who can prove themselves. So I just can't see him being my sixth-round pick at this point. The recent quotes coming out have not alleviated those concerns for me.
Yeah, especially when they're saying he's in danger of not starting. Or, I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of counting on him. I know when we were trying to work that dynasty trade, Pettis was the guy who was getting thrown, you know, around a little bit, saying, "Hey, are you interested in giving him up?" And, you know, at the beginning of the season, we were like, "No, he's stepping up. He should be, you know, big time player this year." But I do think that they've got to throw the ball to somebody. And he had some flashes of decent play last year. Sixth round does seem a heavy, not necessarily the best investment. What about an eighth round pick? Would you pick him in the eighth?
Yeah, possibly then. But if this news comes out again, it's just hard for me to, you know,
invest.
Yeah, sure. So, Dan, who's your last faller going into the draft?
Oh, my word. Lots of falling. Yeah, if you don't mind, let me grab my little sheet here. Oh, here's the other side of the equation. So you're rising on Carson. Obviously, I'm falling on Penny. I just think, even though we're the proud owners of Rashad Penny and Dynasty, I think until Chris Carson either tries to get more money and holds out or something like that, I think the power – or not necessarily the power, but the ceiling for Mr. Penny is kind of starting to come a little bit to a head here. And, you know, you've heard nothing but great stuff about Chris Carson. Now you're seeing stuff in terms of Rashad Penny saying, you know, Chris Carson's taking 2/3 of the workload. Rashad Penny's filling the rest. You know, he's called the clear-cut number two now. To me, it's a clear-cut backup. I know there's some expectations last year that he was going to overtake Carson. I think he put Carson put those to bed last year.
Right.
And I think he's putting them to sleep again this year. So I'll be honest with you, if Rashad Penny's not even somebody that I'm even thinking about drafting in redraft leagues. I like him in dynasty leagues, but he's not somebody who I would look to put any kind of investment in terms of I'll wait and see what happens. I don't even like him necessarily as a flex play. I would prefer someone like Tarik Cohen, who I feel like is going to be a lot more involved. And frankly, I like some of those rookie running backs a little bit if you're looking to kind of pad the good running backs. And I like guys like Adrian Peterson and, LeSean McCoy, who can get oftentimes much later than where Rashad Penny is going. So while Mike Carson stock is rising, my hype train is rising, Penny's at the caboose of that hype train right now. And, you know, as it was maybe at the beginning of the season, I don't think this is a two-run – I don't think this is necessarily a two-headed running attack backfield by committee approach. I think this is a Chris Carson backfield and a Rashad Penny backup situation.
Yep. So I'll go with my last one, and that's Lamar Jackson, quarterback of the Ravens. Right now he's 127th player off the board at the third pick of the 11th round. Obviously he's going to run the ball, but it still looks like he's lacking in the passing department. And just based on week one preseason, where stat line looked okay, but accuracy issues were present if you really watched it. Jackson himself says he doesn't see running as often as he did in 2019. And just the passing efficiency. And when you can get quarterbacks like this, either right around him or later than him, this makes me fade him. I can get Big Ben in the 10th pick of the 11th round. I can get Dak Prescott out of the 6th pick of the 12th round.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky, 9th pick of the 13th round. Josh Allen, 1st pick of the 14th round. I mean, why reach for somebody that can definitely run the ball, but passing could be an issue when all those other guys could have just as much upside, if not more. So that's why Lamar Jackson is my last one. I don't think we need to go in too much detail about quarterbacks, but just wanted to bring him up as if you're waiting, there's other ones that you can wait even longer on that can give just as much, if not a lot more upside to it. So
agreed.
So Dan, that is our risers and fallers. I wanted to give a few listener. I put it out on Twitter at NotTakesFF to get some listener suggestions. So I'm just going to read them off here and go through them. Our boy Kiawe at Hilo Farm D, risers, San Fran wide receivers, mostly Debo Samuel, James Washington. Fallers, he's sort of piggybacked off you, Colts playmakers with Luck's uncertainty. So definitely some that we have echoed earlier. The Fantasy Wire Frank B at Fantasy Wire HQ, risers, we're seeing a trend. James Washington, he says, based on opportunity and reps, Mark Ingram for the ground and pound running game. Fallers, he has Joe.
I like that.
He has Joe Mixon, no AJ Green, schedule, offensive line issues, and Damian Williams, running back by committee with question marks. So yeah, we sort of talked about that too. Seth Tupper at Fire Fool, risers, Goff, Geis, Mark Andrews, fallers, Matt Ryan, Ito Smith, OJ Howard, Mike Williams. I don't know if I agree on the fallers outside of Ito Smith. I really like the rest of them, so
yeah, me interesting too. Picks. I mean, are people even drafting Ito Smith?
I wouldn't.
All right. I mean, I think all the Devonta Freeman news has been very positive coming out of camp. And I mean, he had one bad season that was injury plagued. You know, I'm really liking Devonta Freeman this year.
Me too.
I think he's being drafted like an RB2, but has a chance to be an RB1.
Yep, I totally 100% agree. We got four more. Dan, Pete Lawrence at underscore Pete Law, risers, he went more of a rookie route. Jacoby Myers from the Patriots, fallers, Hakeem Butler of the Cardinals.
Pats. Patriots.
Right. Patriots for Myers. Cards. Yeah, cards for Butler. Mitch Zimmer at Mitch Zimmer 2019. Sammy Watkins is falling way down on his draft board. We sort of mentioned that as well.
Yep.
Eddie Deer at Eddie R. Deer, risers, I like the James Washington pick for a riser. He does have a ton of chemistry with Rudolph, so that's always helpful. So James Washington getting a lot of love here.
Oh yeah.
And the last one is Spinksy at Spinksy NFL. He went more of a rookie specific angle. Risers, Alexander Mattison, he said, especially when Cook goes down in week four, which unfortunately
like
is in the realm.
Pick.
Yeah.
I like that pick. That's in our mocks. That's somebody who I frequently try to grab just because I don't necessarily have a great deal of confidence that Dalvin's going to have a season, an entire season of health. So I love that pick. Love that.
N'Keal Harry of the Patriots, Daryl Henderson of the Rams, and Fallers. Boy, his name's falling in here a lot. Hakeem Butler. So hands off on Hakeem Butler. And once again, thank you for everybody that participated. Once again, at NotTakesFF on Twitter. We'll keep putting these out there because we like getting more listener options in there. But Dan, I'm ready to get my stuff packed and get to bed because I'm ready to get up there for draft weekend. So how about we close this show?
let's get drafty, Bob.
Yeah, so once again, Twitter and Instagram, we're at NotTakesFF, NotTakesFF. We really love, especially on Twitter, the interaction's been great. We're on our way, Dan, to 1,000 followers, so let's make that happen sooner than later. Email NotTakesFF@gmail.com. You can visit our podcast homepage, anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. That's anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. To listen to us there, you got links to the other 12 platforms that we're on. For those that listen on Apple, take 30 seconds, rate, review, and subscribe if you like what we're doing. A 5-star rating and review really helps our show. We appreciate it. It helps grow our platform presence on Apple. But anywhere that you listen, subscribe so you get all the shows. We're recording the live draft this weekend. That'll be up next week. So we got some great content. We're inching our way towards 3 episodes a week here. Dan, shout it out to your brother Tom like you always do.
Yeah, the song's called All That's Been With Us From the Jump. It's been with us for this first year of Not Takes Fantasy Football, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got a lot of stuff out there. This one was called Alma. And check out the SoundCloud. He's that dude, Tom. And shout out to my brother for letting us use that free of charge. And I know he listens because he just checked. He just said, hey, is this the name of the podcast? So, yes, he's getting himself ready for his fantasy draft. We're coming for you, Tom. So keep up the good work, my buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the song. And Dan, I'll see you in just about 24 more hours, less than that right now, for the draft weekend. Until then, my friend, I will talk to you later.